Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we begin a new year with you, reveal to us afresh our Advent hope in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So let me begin by wishing you all a happy new year. Today is the first day in the calendar of the church. And so it's fitting that we come together as one mission community, celebrating our common purpose in serving the people of the Otter Vale through the year ahead. And day one means we are in this season of Advent. Now, you may be surprised to hear that the origin of the word Advent may not be as old as we originally thought. The latest theory is that it's a portmanteau word, that is to say, two words have been joined together to create one new word. I'm sure you'll be familiar with them. One of the words is vent, which in my dictionary is a verb meaning to release or give expression or utterance to an emotion or idea. The other word is add, being the common abbreviation of the word advertisement. Yes, Advent is the season for the release of advertisements, in particular those cheesy Christmas TV commercials that tug at our heartstrings and our wallets, and it begins earlier and earlier every year. Wouldn't it be lovely not to have any Christmas commercials or indeed supermarkets full of Christmas food and other festive treats prior to the fourth Sunday before Christmas? Some hope. You may, however, prefer the more traditional understanding of Advent, being a time of coming, from the Latin ad, meaning to, and venire, meaning come. Long before the invention of television, it evolved in medieval times into the word we recognize today. But the spirit of Advent, with a capital A, of that something that is to come, has been around from long before then. For we see its presence in the Bible readings we have heard this evening, from the Old Testament prophets Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Zephaniah. Called by God in the 6th and 7th centuries BC, these prophets were to bring a message of hope to his people, a reassurance that he had not forgotten them, that one day they would be restored through the breaking into the world of God himself, that God will come and save them. In their day, the prophets would not have grasped precisely what it was that God was going to do, or indeed when he was going to do it. But from where we stand in the great timeline of God's dealings with his people, we have the privilege of knowing for ourselves the nature of that something that is to come, which they faithfully recorded. From our vantage point, we see the fulfillment of their prophecy in the birth and life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fully God in human form, yet fully man, like one of us. It's worth reminding ourselves that it took centuries for this to happen. Often when we come to worship at this time of year, we may read such words of hope and expectation from the Old Testament. And then 5 minutes later, we hear the reading of the gospel proclaiming Jesus has come into the world. It's difficult for us to recreate that sense of wonder at what might be to come. That sense of centuries of faithful perseverance, of trusting that God will act. For us now, it's a bit like being a child who, in mid-December, discovers their Christmas present hidden away. How can we possibly be filled with the same level of wonder that would have naturally filled us at the moment it was unwrapped if we hadn't seen what was to come? We know the Christmas story. We know the one of whom the prophet spoke. So how can we rediscover the joyful surprise of discovering God has given us the greatest gift of all in his one and only Son? Our service tonight invites us to take ourselves back in time, around 2,700 years back, to experience with the prophets the sense of expectation and hopeful anticipation that was inspired by the word revealed to them. They have described the call to wait on God to fulfill his promise of raising up a branch of David and bringing his righteousness to the land. They have cried out, "Prepare the way of the Lord, for here comes your God." They have declared the hope that God the Creator will give strength to the weak and weary. They have pointed us to the sign that a young woman shall bear a son whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. And they have foretold the day when singing will break out because the Lord our God is at last in our midst. This waiting, preparing, hoping, signing and singing finds its fulfillment in the Christ child, God come to earth to bring us back into relationship with him. For some of us, I don't need to invite you to imagine what it was like to discover that Jesus was God's answer to the human condition. You will remember the hour you first believed. But none of us should be complacent. It could be tempting to say that what the prophets foretold has been done according to God's promises, to simply look back at what he has achieved in the past. Yes, we might sing the familiar carols declaring God's great acts in that first nativity. But let's be honest. Do we do it with the same enthusiasm we once did? But Advent is more than just a time to reflect back. A big part of the message of Advent is that there is more to come, for God hasn't finished with us yet. The hope of Advent is not confined to the past and the first coming of Jesus into the world with our annual celebrations of his incarnation. We also look forward to a future day when the ascended Jesus returns to the earth as the victorious King over all of creation at the end of time as we know it. And as we look forward, we seek to recapture that deep sense of anticipation and expectation that the prophets invoked. For Advent, that something that is to come is still very much a promise of things not yet seen. For like the prophets of old, we continue waiting now for Jesus to return in his glory to truly fulfill the promise of his kingdom come on earth. We keep on preparing our hearts for the day when we will meet our King face to face by spending time with him in prayer and absorbing his word. We continue living as people of hope, hoping that our Creator God will continue to strengthen us and his church in readiness for the day of his coming. We ourselves are now the signs pointing the way to the coming King, showing others that God remains with us and will be forever. And we sing our hearts out in praise and adoration to the God who is and was and will be But however lavish our earthly praise, it is a mere warm-up act for the praise that will break out come the day of Christ's return. When the Godhead first stepped down to the earth he created, he chose subtle, an intimate setting in a stable behind the inn. Yes, there was a choir of angels on a Bethlehem hillside and the brightest of stars, but these were missed by all but a select few. But when he returns, nothing, but nothing will be held back. The whole world will finally know that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's easy to get swept up into the world's ways of celebrating Christmas, of spending more than we can really afford on things that do not endure. But please don't be taken in by the cheesy Christmas ads. The true Advent, both the looking back at the great coming of Christ as a baby and the looking forward to his glorious return as the victorious and righteous ruler, that is what we really celebrate. So take time over these next few weeks to step out of the busyness and be still with God and discover afresh the anticipation and expectation that still comes with our great Advent hope. Amen.